Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, today, as we've already heard, we're returning to the Gospel of John for our preaching and our Point Group series. Back in 2022, we looked at chapters 1 through 4. In 2023, we looked at chapters 5 through 12. Last year, we looked at chapters 13 to 17. And Lord willing, this year, we're going chapters 18 through to 21 through to the end. I said to someone a couple of weeks ago, we're finishing John. And they said, oh, I thought God already finished that. You get the point. 18 to 21 are the final chapters of John. Now, seeing as it's the beginning of the year, why don't I give you a little sneak peek into where we're headed all year as well. In term two, we're going to finish our pilgrimage through Romans. And then in term three, we'll dive deep into the book of Jonah. And then in term four, we're looking at various aspects of discipleship under the banner, the normal Christian life. Now this year, we're praying that God will dramatically increase our mission heat. That the fire in our belly to join Jesus to seek and save the lost will continue to grow. If, as Spurgeon said, if hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned or unprayed for. That's this year. Back to today. Because it's been a whole year since we've been in John, today's sermon is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be an overview of John, a refresher, a recap of John's gospel. So have you got it open? John chapter 20, verse 30. John 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, there you go. Now you know why we call the series, That You May Believe. The purpose verse of John tells us, these things have been recorded, the signs of Jesus are recorded, that you may believe. But here's the thing. The devil believes that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. And he hates God. The devil definitely does not have life in Jesus' name. And there are plenty of people, and there always has been, that believe Jesus was a good prophet, that believe Jesus is a good teacher of morals, that believe Jesus was a good leader. But they don't have life in Jesus' name. So the question every person must address before they die is, do you believe Jesus? So that's what we're going to try and look at this morning. Which Jesus do we believe in? And here's how we're going to break it down. Firstly, we're going to see that Jesus and controversy. There was a lot of controversy around Jesus. So the first heading, Jesus and controversy. Then we're going to look at Jesus, celebrity or saviour. And then we'll finish with Jesus, grace and truth. That's where we're headed. First of all, Jesus and controversy. The first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And Christians throughout the centuries today, we call those first four books Gospels, a lower G, Gospels, that they're biographies of Jesus's life. And there's lots of similarities between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but each writer gives their own flavour. Now, each Gospel does want us to come to know the identity of Jesus, but John has a real particular interest in getting us to know the identity of Jesus. We heard that in the purpose verse, didn't we? But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. These are written so that you might know the identity of Jesus. He's the Christ. Now, Christ is not Jesus' second name. Christ is a title. Today, we would write King. It means the anointed one. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for this Christ was the Messiah, God's future King. In the New Testament, he's called the Christ, that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, as we'll come to see in a moment. This is a unique Son of God. There is something very unique in that title when applied to Jesus. John's Gospel is also the one with those seven I am sayings we looked at a couple of years ago. Jesus says of himself, I am the bread of life. Chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Chapter 8, verse 12. I am the door. Chapter 10, verse 7. I am the good shepherd. Chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14. I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 11, verse 25. I am the way and the truth and the life. John 14, verse 6. I am the true vine. John 15, verse 1. Jesus makes lots of bold claims about his identity. Now, Donald Trump is one of those polarizing leaders, isn't he? You either love him or you hate him. Trump is not averse to making huge claims about himself, what he's achieved, what he can achieve. Now, don't panic. I'm not going to tell you whether you should love him or hate him. You pick another world leader that everybody knows at the moment, if you like. But what I want you to imagine is Trump stepping up to the cameras and not only declaring that he's going to make America great again, but he declares he's going to make the world great. Picture Trump looking down the barrel of the camera and saying, I will save you. I imagine there would be some people ready to get on board. I also imagine the assassination attempts might increase. Okay, you can forget about Trump now. Here's what everyone must make a decision about Jesus. Jesus is either King and Savior of the world, or he is dangerous and his church must be shut down. Here's what makes no sense at all. Saying Jesus was just a wise prophet. Jesus was just a good teacher of morals. Jesus was just a good leader. The people who met Jesus did not think that way. One massive clue to Jesus' true identity is the massive controversy that Jesus generated. Listen in as I read John chapter 5, verse 18. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was Jesus breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. That is controversy. The religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus. Kill Jesus, not arrest Jesus. The strength of their opposition tells us that Jesus' identity, it's more than a prophet, it's more than a teacher, it's more than a leader. Jesus speaks of himself as the Son of God in a unique way, in a way that makes himself equal with God. And so as C.S. Lewis wrote, when it comes to Jesus, we have to make up our mind. Jesus either is Lord, or he is a liar, or he is a lunatic. It is disrespectful to Jesus' claims about himself to say that Jesus is just a good teacher. He's just a good prophet. He's just a good leader. It's disrespectful to just the plain reading of the verses as we work through John. Jesus is so much more. The message of Christianity centers on the life, death, resurrection, and rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. We either worship him or we call him and his followers liars. Jesus either is deity or delusional. Okay, that was Jesus and controversy. Now to Jesus, celebrity or savior? You see, Jesus not only spoke of his identity as being equal to God, Jesus did things only God can do. And the interesting thing in John's gospel is that these things, they're not called miracles in John's gospel, they're called signs in John's gospel. In John chapter 2, we read of Jesus turning water into top shelf wine, a sign of Jesus' identity. In John chapter 5, Jesus heals a paralytic, a sign of Jesus' identity. In John chapter 6, Jesus grabbed 5 small bread rolls and 2 small fish and fed thousands of people. Jesus took a sandwich and made a supermarket, a sign of Jesus' identity. And as we read through John, we discover Jesus did things only God can do. And so Jesus, he spoke of himself as God. Jesus did things that only God could do. And as we read through John, we see that some people did begin to worship Jesus. And some people plotted to murder Jesus. But there was a third group. It's a very large group. We discover them in chapter 6. And this large group followed Jesus for his celebrity status. Now, we looked at John chapter 6 back in 2023 when we were working through chapters 5 through 12. You might remember we also looked at John chapter 6 last year in our Doctrines That Divide series. So we're not going to go into it deeply right now. I'll give you the summary of John 6. After Jesus turned the sandwich into a supermarket, large numbers of people followed Jesus. Now, Jesus confronted the large crowd. Jesus called them out. He said, "You're only following me because you want more food." Now, chapter 6, it's a long chapter. It records this longest section where Jesus uses highly provocative language to teach that crowd, but also to teach us about what it means to believe in him. In John 6, we read one of those I am sayings. In verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Jesus then goes on to say over and over again, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood." Now, if you're new to Christianity, if you're still checking out Christianity, yes, that sounds gross. But don't panic. Christianity is not a cannibalistic religion. Jesus is being highly provocative. Because he wanted that crowd, he wants you and I to know what believing in him really is. You see, Jesus is calling that crowd out because they were following him simply as a celebrity. Jesus said to that crowd, "Don't follow me for the magic show." Jesus was telling that crowd, Jesus is telling us, "I am the savior of the world." In the same way that we need food and water to physically survive, we need Jesus in order to spiritually survive. We don't physically eat Jesus. We believe Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We believe Jesus. We're either all in for Jesus or we're all out for Jesus. Real belief in Jesus is not speculation. Real belief in Jesus is not hedging our bets. A real belief in Jesus is not an insurance policy that we file away for judgment day. Real belief in Jesus is daily and it lasts. Furthermore, in chapters 14 and 15 of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey me." Lynn, good on you for leading us in prayer. Help us to hear you speak from your word and help us to go away and obey. If you love me, you will obey me. Real belief in Jesus is a daily relationship with Jesus where we submit our lives to his rule. We lean into his death daily for his forgiveness. Real belief is 100% commitment. Now, to the outsider, that looks radical. You might even say that it looks like we're feasting on Jesus. Our lives are completely dependent on him. And to the outsider, that might look radical. But to the Christian, well, that's just love. If you love me, you'll obey me. You see, real belief in Jesus is daily love, commitment, glad submission, glad devotion, because Jesus is Savior, not celebrity. Which brings us to our final point, Jesus, full of grace and truth. Now, we're actually told this in the very first chapter of John's Gospel. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we read these words, "And the Word," which we know is another title for Jesus. Jesus is the Word. "And the Word became flesh." Yeah, he was born at that very first Christmas. "And he dwelt amongst us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is full of grace and truth. We're told that at the beginning. But I want to take us to the very last chapter so that we can see Jesus' grace and truth in action. In John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19, we read of Jesus asking Peter the same question three times. Now, we're not actually told why Jesus asked the same question three times. Many commentators speculate that because Jesus' response to Peter's answer is slightly different each time, that Jesus was giving Peter three different jobs. But I suspect, and lots of other commentators as well, the reason why Jesus asked Peter the same question three times is because just hours before, Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. It's hard to imagine a more shameful set of circumstances. It is a spectacular failure. Peter staunchly denied knowing Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus is then nailed to the cross. Jesus died. Jesus was buried in a tomb. Then Jesus defeated death in that tomb and he rose to life again, victorious over sin and death. But Peter had to live with the reality that he denied Jesus in Jesus' darkest hour. It's hard to imagine a more shameful set of circumstances. Just before Jesus ascended to his cosmic throne, Jesus had this conversation with Peter. John 21, verse 15. Jesus has died, risen again, but he hasn't ascended up to his throne yet. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now, I think it would appear from the narrative that Jesus is setting up Peter to be a leader amongst leaders here. Jesus is giving Peter a significant role. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Did Peter deserve the special role that Jesus gave to him? Obviously not. And just to add to it all, later on, Peter was rebuked by the Apostle Paul for poor gospel behavior. You can go home and read about that one in Galatians chapter 2. Listen. Jesus died on the cross for his enemies. Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. Jesus' offer of salvation, it's a gift. It's a gift of grace and truth. It's a gift because we don't deserve it. And it's truth because the death and resurrection of Jesus guarantees forgiveness of all our sins and guarantees eternal life with God. Jesus truly is King and Savior. Peter was deeply flawed, just like you and I are deeply flawed. And while we need to daily own and confess and fight our sin, the Christian does not need to live in guilt or shame. The gospel of Jesus is full of grace and truth. Now, Peter's death is alluded to in 21 verse 19. And the most popular historical records of Peter's death is that Peter was crucified, like Jesus. However, not exactly like Jesus. The historical records state that Peter could not bear he did not feel like he deserved to die in the same way as Jesus. So these historical records say that Peter was crucified upside down. Now that may or may not be true. Here's what is 100% true. Jesus' grace and truth has turned the world upside down. Jesus has turned the world upside down. And so, brother, sister, if we have been turned upside down by the grace of Jesus, what should we be known for? You're allowed to call out an answer to this one. heard grace, 100%. And as soon as I read out the verse, you'll also say another word. John 13:35, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Now, if you were to push me, do I want to be known for love or do I want to be known for grace? I'm not going to give an answer. I want both. So good on you for whoever yelled out grace. Grace changes everything. Love changes everything. This term, as we work through the end of John, let's be honest with God and let's be honest with each other in our point groups. Where do we still need to grow in love? Where's the pride that we still hold on to? What anger are we allowing to simmer? What sort of people get under our skin? What entitlements does the grace of God still need to smash in our lives? And here's how to combat all those flaws, all those sins. Which Jesus do you believe in? You see, if he's just the good prophet, you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to learn your salvation up. If your Jesus is just a good moral teacher, you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to earn your salvation. Which Jesus do you believe in? Is it the celebrity Jesus? Or is it the King and Savior of the world? The one who says to us, if you believe in me, I will remove all your sins. No more guilt, no more shame, and I will return to take you to be with the Father forever. Do you know? Do you believe? Do you live and breathe the gospel of grace and truth? I'm going to pray. But just before I do, I'm looking for Miranda. There's no questions. So we're going to sing and then end after I pray. Come on up, band. Almighty God, you are worthy of all worship. You are holy. You are good. You are true. You're almighty. You're wonderful. And at the same time, you allow us, you make the way for us to come in and enjoy you in a relationship. And so, Father, help all of us here right now. Keep receiving every day your grace. Help us to confess our sin. Help us to fight our sin. Help us to do that all within your grace so that we taste your love and your grace and your mercy. And then would you keep shaping us into people that go out full of that grace and love and truth of your gospel. We pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.